RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Western correspondent is Brett Nielsen of BrettNielsen.com. Brett is an infrastructure engineering manager for a software company. To break away from the high-tech work, he enjoys camping with his wife Ashley and daughter Lily in their Keystone hideout. The three of them are based in Utah and frequently find themselves enjoying extended weekends in state and federal campgrounds. Brett likes to say that time camping isn't spent, it's invested.
Welcome back to the show, Brett.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's
the
always
pleasure
a good
is
time.
Always ours.
Indeed.
Now, last time on episode number 29, you took us to Fish Creek Campground in Glacier National Park, Montana. What beautiful locale are you taking us to this week?
Well, keeping with the national park theme, let's head on down to Devil's Garden Campground in Arches National Park in Utah.
Okay, we cannot wait to hear about that. But first, we want to thank Progressive Insurance for sponsoring Campground of the Week. You can stay protected with emergency expense, which is automatically included with your RV, comp, and collision. Progressive will pay for temporary expenses, transportation, and towing if your RV is damaged more than 50 miles from home. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info. And maybe we've all been there a time or two, so... All right, Brett. So, Devil's Garden Campground in Arches National Park. Where is it in the great state of Utah?
Yeah, so it's more to the southeastern part of the state. The actual campground is about 240 miles southeast of Salt Lake City, which is, of course, our capital. And if you're over in the Denver area, it's 365-ish miles west of Denver. So kind of there in the close to the border of Utah and Colorado, but a pretty good distance from either one, about 4.5 hours out of Salt Lake, about 6 hours out of Denver.
So according to my English teacher calculations, it's in the middle of those two places.
It's about in the middle of those two. Yes, that's that's a fair assessment. So
close enough for the artiste amongst us. All right. Now, we know that this is a national park campground. So it's a public campground. How are we making reservations for this?
Yeah, so this is the sites here are reserved through Reserve America. Technically, it's reservation.gov, which is where the federal stuff is, but the same basic interface. If you go to Reserve America, it will redirect you over to not reservation.gov, recreation.gov. It'll redirect you over there. The sites at the campground are reservable from March 1st to October 31st. But the campground is open year-round, so you can make reservations March 1st through the through October 31st, but the rest of the year, first come, first serve.
Are they just assuming that nobody wants to be there during those months?
You know, to me, that would be a great time to be there, right? The height of summer, it can get really warm here, and it seems like, you know, after October, that would be a nice time to be there. So,
how cold does it get there in the winter months?
You know, the you're going to be down right close to the freezing temperatures, but you're not going to, there might be a little snow that hits the ground there occasionally, but you're not getting feet of snow there by any means. So it would be cooler camping in the wintertime for sure.
So fill up the propane tanks and do it.
Yeah, definitely. January is the coldest month, and it dips down at the lowest, you know, probably into the 20s. But, you know, if you had your propane going, you'd be just fine. So.
Well, you just said that it's pretty hot in the summer and it gets pretty chilly in the winter. Does that mean that you like the spring and the fall for this place the best?
Yes, indeed. When we went here, we went in April, and that was about the perfect time. Your lows are in the 40s. Your highs are in the low 70s. It's about the perfect time of year. If you push over into July tends to be the hottest month there, and you're going to be up over 100. Which can be a little steamy there in the desert with all the rock landscape around there. It can get a little bit warm.
And you're not running AC unless you have a generator, right?
Yeah, the campground here is essentially a dry campground. There's no hookups or anything like that. So that is one of the challenges here. Is I think if we could get power here, that would be ideal. But you're running some type of generator if you need the air conditioner. When we were there, you know, low 70s, we just opened up the windows, maybe turned on a little fan to get some air circulation, and that was perfectly fine while we were there. So,
all right, great. Small campground, medium campground, large campground.
It's you know, it's pretty good sized. It's 51 sites, so I would say on the smaller end of campgrounds, but definitely not the smallest one that we've been in. So it's 51 sites and a mix of pull off sites and back in sites. And the biggest limitation here, 30-foot max. So if you're over 30 feet, you're going to have to be stretching the truth a little bit in the reservation, or finding another alternative outside the park.
Or your RV is going to be sticking out into the road, and you're going to have some angry ranger after you.
Well, you know, I've wondered how they make these measurements, because there's always the big question: does that measurement max include your vehicle, your tow vehicle, or is it just the trailer? And where, from exactly where to where is that? Because like on my trailer, my back axle, I've got a bunch of trailer behind the back axle. So if the 30-foot mark is a log that's on the ground and I can pull the back of the trailer over top of that, I can pick up a couple extra feet. But that's one of those things, you hate to play that game, make the reservation and show up and be poking out in the street, as you said. So.
And this is exactly why you bought an RV that's under 30 feet, correct?
This type
of Utah campground.
Yeah, this was one of the primary reasons when we were shopping. We were specifically targeting under 30 feet for these exact type of sites, and this exact type of reason is we just didn't want that to be a factor for us. So,
all right, so we know that there's no hookups. You just mentioned that. How about the restroom facilities?
Yeah, so there's no real hookups here, but they do have full flush toilets there and some drinking water. So you can get water, not like a hookup where you could hook up your trailer to the water and fill the tank, but you could fill up a jug or something like that. Full flush toilets, no showers or anything like that. So if you're going to be there for an extensive period of time, you're either going to have to travel into town and do something there or use the facilities right within your trailer. So.
Oh, I'm such a wimp. I hear no showers and I like shiver. I'm like, oh.
Yes. Yeah, especially with 100 degree temperature in the middle of summer, right?
Yeah. All right. So we have to be under 30 feet to pull into these sites. What are the sites like?
Yeah, so like I said, these are pull-off and back-end sites. They're asphalt driveways, and then everything else is dirt. And when I say dirt, it's really a fine red sand. And that's one of the cautionary tales here. You will be finding that red sand in your rig for at least a year after your trip here. So be very diligent when you go. Keep your shoes outside. Keep them outside, you know, outside of the rig. Try to manage that sand the best you can, because literally for about a year after we were here, we found sand in our rig. So, but other than that, the sites are really spacious. I would highly recommend a back-end site over the pull-off sites. I've said this before on a couple of the other Campground of the Week reviews. I'm just not a fan of the pull-offs. You pull off to the side of the road, you're totally exposed on the other side. Somebody not paying attention could run right into you, and there's literally no separation between you and the road. So I really like the back-ends. We had a back-end and really enjoyed our site.
Any shade?
Not extensively. So we carry with us one of those 10 by 10 kind of easy up canopies, and we tend to put that over our picnic table and that kind of stuff. There are some trees and shrubs here, but they're not what I would consider good shade trees. They're, you know, they have a short shadow of shade, but nothing that's truly what I would consider a good shade tree in the campground there.
All right, how about dumping your tanks?
Yeah, so no hookups and no dump station. So
just don't go to the bathroom and you're fine.
You're perfect, right? You use the flush toilets and you can stay here all week. So the campground itself, this is one of the tricky parts. It's 18 miles into the park, and the park is a single one road in and one road back out. So you're 18 miles into the campground. If you need to leave to dump your tanks, you're coming 18 miles back out the park. That puts you outside of the park, and now you have to drive to another private campground to find a dump station there. That's what we did. We found a private campground in the area. I looked it up right before we talked here, and it actually says it's for registered guests only now. But there's lots of other campgrounds outside of the park that charge $5-$10, and you can go dump your tanks there. So,
Brett, I appreciate how thorough your dump tank research is.
you got to know where your black tanks are going, right?
how much to camp here? We know in Utah it's usually like $1 or $2 per night.
Yeah, so they recently passed a bill and said that they had to stop giving the campgrounds away and actually had to start charging people. And so this one's up to a whopping $25 a night.
Sounds like a bargain. Sounds like a bargain.
It is. It's great. It's a great campsite. And one of the things that I really like about it the most is, like I said, you go in this beautiful road all the way into the park. And then you take a spur kind of off of that road back down to the campground. And in between the main road and the campground, there's a big rock formation or rock wall that separates the campground really from the rest of the park. And so when you're in the campground, it's almost like you get this kind of private experience that the other visitors of the park don't get, because you're back on the other side of this rock formation and it's very private back there. You just have you in the campground, and it's almost like you're out all by yourselves in just that campground. You have no idea that there's all these other people in the park, and it's very nice. We really enjoyed it.
Now, you talked about some like the limitations of this type of NPS campground, but what are you getting? You're getting some incredible, incredible beauty, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. The site that we were in was site 46, and there's several that are like this, but site 46 has a really big space that you can stretch out on and play. My daughter was shoveling in the sand and building all kinds of things, and you've got these rock formations that are right there basically in your site. And a cool thing about Arches is it's very hands-on. So you're encouraged to climb on things and get on the rocks and explore. And so right there in the campground, you've got these big rock formations that you can climb up on and go back and explore and find all these little nooks and crannies back in there. And there's several trails right out of the campground that are really unused by anybody else because they're, like I said, off on this private campground road that most visitors to the park don't go down there. They stay in the main part of the park, and they don't come into the campground. And so you kind of get this private little area that it's just you and the other campers, and it's awesome.
Now, some NPS campgrounds are sort of shoved off in the corner. I mean, this one is in like a premier location in the park, right? I mean, I've seen some of your photos of your RV, and just it's stunning, 360 yeah. degrees around your site.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And this is what's interesting is right at the top of this road where you turn off to go to the campground is a major trailhead, and it is just jam-packed full of cars. In fact, if you're midday there, it's hard to find parking in the loop at the top of the park. But yet you turn into the campground and it's just peaceful and all that commotion's gone because you go back behind this kind of rock wall and you're just hidden back there and exposed. And so you get this real private experience back there. It's very, very nice. And like you said, just beautiful. And sunrise and sunset, you just get these amazing light and shadows. It's a kind of a photographer's dream to be there. There's just tons of stuff to take pictures of for sure.
Well, you told us that your favorite site was site number 46. Are there other insider details that we should know about before booking this place?
Yeah, I mean, site 46 is a great one. Site one at the very top of the campground also looked really, really good. I mentioned a couple of the trails. So south out of the campground, there's a great trail. It's kind of loosely marked, but it starts around Site 49, and it leads you back into these rock areas where you can kind of climb up and you can get kind of a bird's eye view down into the campground. And it's really great. From there, you can split off to a couple of different locations. There's a big arch formation that's kind of being carved into one of the walls. My daughter was very interested in it, so we hiked over there, and you climb up this big sand dune. And so we were sitting up on the sand dune, kind of looking out over the campground. It's just amazing there. There's also another hike out of there that's east out of the campground, and it takes you to what's known as Broken Arch. And that leaves out of Site 40. There's a trail entrance right there, and that's about a 2 mile round trip if you go do the Broken Arch arch view. So those are two that are right there in the campground that, like I said, nobody except the campground visitors really goes down those paths. There are a few that show up from time to time, but for the most part, very private, very reserved, kind of just for the campers.
Now you're hiking with a very special young lady who's 6 years old or seven years old.
6 years old, yeah.
Well, other special lady, we don't need to mention her age, but
we won't talk about that age.
I'm wondering very specifically about how Lily did on these trails and if they're kid and family friendly trails.
They are, and that's one of the coolest parts about arches is, like I said, it's very hands on. So the rocks encourage kids to climb on them. Of course, as parents, you have to be a little cautious of where they're headed and what they're getting themselves into. But she tends to be a little fearless. And so she was encouraging me to come climb with her, and I'm looking at stuff saying, I'm not going up there. And, you know, here she is kind of scaling up the rock and going. So a lot of these trails were really good. We can talk a little bit in a bit here about some of the other trails in the actual park itself. And a lot of them are fairly short, which make them great rewards. So you go for a little ways and you get a nice reward. And that's always great for the kids because they can scramble around on the rocks and then they get the big payoff really quickly. And you're not going for, 6 miles before you see something fun.
Yeah, that's kid hiking nirvana, definitely.
Yes.
Rather more like nirvana for the parents because we don't have to hear the whining, right?
Exactly. Are we there yet? Are we there
yet? Yeah. All right. So we know that nobody's perfect. What, Brett, is your recommendation to make this campground awesome?
Yeah. So I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Power would be ideal here. I know that's a huge ask, especially at a national facility like this. It would take a lot to put in power, but if they could run some power out there to power up some ACs, I think that would be awesome throughout the hot weather. As an alternative to that, I think ditching those pull-off sites and backing them into those sites or getting them off the road a little bit, I think would really help out. I'm not a fan of those at all, and everything else here is beautiful. It's perfect. It's quiet. It's a great campground. Those are the only two things that I could nitpick and kind of point fingers at.
It almost feels like sacrilegious criticizing an NPS campground in the middle of such a beautiful location. But you bring up an interesting point. Like, yeah, it's a big ask to say, like, well, it'd be really nice to have electricity at the campsite. But it's, the national parks need to figure out if they're going to modernize in this way. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the next 10, 20, 30 years. Because, I mean, they're definitely thinking about it. Let's see if they do it.
And that's the thing is throw a solar panel at each site on a pole, and maybe you can't get a full 30 amp, but if I can get something that's going to run a fan or something for me during the day, that at least helps, right?
But then are you disturbing the natural beauty of the area?
Yeah, well, you got to be careful that you're not putting the panels up too high and all this kind of stuff to obstruct the view. So, but there's options. I mean, there's definitely options there, but they all have an expense to it. But I agree. The campground, like it is beautiful. It's hard to criticize it. But if I had to pick something, get some power, get rid of those pull-off sites, and I think we'd be in great shape there.
All right, Brett, thank you so much for that great review of Devil's Garden Campground in Arches National Park, Utah. We are going to be back in a minute to talk about all of the activities and attractions in this area, of course, focusing on one of our nation's most amazing national parks, Arches. We'll be back in a second.
Since 1968, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together.
Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year warranty.
Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby.
For more information, visit your closest Jayco dealer or jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Brett Nielsen from brettnielsen.com, and he just gave us a terrific review of Devil's Garden Campground in Arches National Park, which, by the way, just has a really pretty cool name for a campground. And now he's going to tell us about some cool things to do in the national park itself and in the area. So, Brett, get us started.
Yeah, so this is one of these national parks that when we entered the park, we didn't leave until it was time to go home. So we stayed in the park, obviously camping in the campground there. We stayed in the park the entire time. We actually only left once to go into town. We had to pick something up at one of the stores. But other than that, all of our activities and everything, we stayed in the park the whole time. In Arches, you can drive the main road, as we were talking in the first half here, all the way through the park, and you can see a lot right from the car. But where you really gain an appreciation is getting up close and personal with some of these arches and these different rock formations. And you can get it in the car. You drive to one of the trailheads. And as I mentioned before, there's a lot of really short hikes you can do and see some just amazing, amazing stuff. So one of my favorite ones that we saw there was the Balanced Rock. And you maybe have seen pictures of this online, but it's basically like a column out of rock, and there's this huge boulder on the top of it. And one of the best parts to do, I think, is get right up underneath it and look at that boulder like hanging over you and just thinking, literally, it's just like hanging there. You kind of always talk about or visualize this thing falling off right when you're underneath it. But it's just amazing that it's just balanced there on the top of this thing, and it's only a 0.3 mile hike from the car. So you just see this incredible rock formation with hardly any effort at all.
Is that a relatively flat hike to the rock? Is that easy for somebody that had maybe slightly limited mobility, or are you scrambling a little bit?
No, this is a very slight uphill on a very well-defined path. It might have even been paved. I can't recall. It could have either just been really compact ground or maybe even paved out to this location. Very easy to do. I don't think it's quite wheelchair accessible, but this would be a very easy one for someone to get to.
All right, so that's a must-do hike. What other hikes were high on your list?
Another real popular one is called Double Arch, and I suggest that area is there's a lot of stuff right around that area. Double Arch is one of the things. That's a half-mile hike, and that's a great one. You walk up another trail. This one's got a little bit more incline to it, but it's still very, very minimal. And you get to see some great vistas here where you can kind of look out over the park a little bit, as well as this double arch that's created there. Another really cool one that we liked, it's another half-mile hike. This one was called Sand Dune Arch. And as the name would suggest, it's sand the entire way. So this one is one that you're going to be walking through sand for that half-mile to get to it. But this was my daughter's favorite place. The entire time that you're on that hike and to the end, it's like you're in a big sand pile. And the arch that's at the end is kind of back in this, I don't want to say a slot canyon, but you're in between these very large rocks, and the arch is in there, and you can climb up and climb around and slide down the rock face because it's all kind of sandy. We spent a good amount of time here just playing in the sand and messing around in this area.
Now, do you need to get there early in the morning because of potential heat in the summer? And also, is parking an issue like the other hike you mentioned before the break?
Yeah, so in each of these, you know, the parking lots that are there have, 10 to probably 20 spaces on the smaller ones, and the larger ones have probably 50 spaces or so. We had no issues at any time. Again, we were there in April. We had no issues at any time finding parking at any of these locations. We could drive in, find a parking spot, and we were off and hiking. So it was very, very easy. If you are here in the heat of summer, I would plan to do your hikes in the morning. Something like Sand Dune Arch, you're going to be in the shade while you're hiking, but it's still going to get warm because those rocks absorb that heat from the sun and they just kind of radiate that back out. So it can get a little toasty at times and up next to some of those rocks. So I would definitely save the hikes for early morning, get them out of the way, and then try to find a shady spot to hang out the rest of the day.
Now, other than the heat, is there a time that people do like to go on these hikes in terms of the lighting? You know, are there certain times of the day on different hikes that are popular so people get the light off the rocks in the right way?
Yeah, and that's one that I would definitely invoke a ranger's help for when you're there. Depending on what time of season, the sun's obviously going to be in different places. So the orientation of the hike and the final payout of whatever arch it is, you're going to have sunrise opportunities and sunset opportunities. Those are going to be your golden hour hikes. That's going to be your best time to be at the destination that basically the turnaround point of that hike at the golden hour, either in the morning or in the evening, to get that nice side lighting, and you can get some just amazing shots here. One of the best arches, or best known arch, at least for those of us here in Utah, is the Delicate Arch. It's on all of the Utah propaganda and our license plates and everything. It's featured everywhere because it is like a state symbol for us, and that is very frequently pictured, or people take pictures of that at sunset, and you get just this beautiful light up of the red arch. It's just amazing.
Now, when you say propaganda, you make me think that like this stuff's really not there. Like I'm going to show up, and like the Delicate Arch is going to be like the McDonald's arch.
No, it's propaganda. All the marketing material for hey, come visit Utah and check that out. You know, we're a great state. It always has the picture of the Delicate Arch in those pictures.
I think you're a secret agent for Visit Utah.
Yeah, you know, I should be paid by those guys. So.
Now, Brett, one of the most famous hikes to take in Arches, you kind of have to plan ahead for, right?
Yeah, so that's one, and we missed the boat on this, and I was really, really not exactly happy about that. So the Fiery Furnace, it's recommended you do this as a ranger-led hike. Now, you can do it on your own, but you do have to file and get a permit. There's a great video online that kind of shows you what you're getting into. And it's one that I probably wouldn't want to do alone. I probably would want a ranger there just to help me navigate some of the rocks because this is, I'll say extreme scrambling. You are walking all over the rocks and, navigating, different, gaps in the rocks and this kind of stuff. I would be much more comfortable with a ranger leading me through here. They do not allow anybody under 5 years of age to go on that hike. And they do the permits primarily because of some of the vegetation and stuff that's in the area. They really want to limit the number of people. Because of that, you have to get these tickets in advance. So if you're planning to go here and you want to do Fiery Furnace, I would highly suggest getting online, getting the tickets for the ranger-led program, and go with a ranger through that hike. Because if you just show up like we did, everything was sold out for the entire time that we were there. Even the self-guided stuff was all gone when we were there. So we had no option to get into that area of the park. And I really, really wish we could have been there when we were at the park.
Now, Brett, we know that your family participates in the Junior Ranger programs at almost all the national parks that you visit. Yes. Did you do it here?
We did, and it was awesome. It was the Rangers took it very seriously. My daughter loved it because they were inspecting her book, and they were asking her questions, and she felt very proud when she got sworn in. And we've been to some, and they just kind of look at the book, and they're like, okay, and they sign it and kind of hand you your badge, and you're done, right? But these guys took it very, very seriously. They pinned the badge on her, and, I mean, it was a big deal. So I would highly suggest, again, that the kids partake in this program. And as I always do, I usually do these with my daughter, grab a book for the adult in the family and or adults, whoever's there that wants to do it, and do it yourself, because you're going to learn a ton of stuff by these programs. They're great programs, and Arches is no exception. There's a great program there, and the Rangers are great with it.
All right. Tell us about Moab.
Yeah. So Moab is really the kind of epicenter of a lot of this. So just outside of Arches National Park, Moab is the main city there. And it becomes this kind of gateway to a lot of these places. It's a great gateway into Arches. It also gets into Canyonlands National Park and Dead Horse Point State Park. It's a great location if you're not going to camp. Let's say you're over 30 feet, you're going to want to camp somewhere in Moab. And Moab is just minutes outside of the park. Now, granted, to get all the way back up to the campground, you've got a long drive in there, but Moab itself, there's several different RV parks there, lots of options for camping in that area. Like I said, you can get into Dead Horse Point State Park, you can get into Canyonlands National Park. If you're more interested in the adventure side, Moab is kind of a mecca for mountain biking, four-wheeling, river rafting, all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of outfitters in Moab itself. There's restaurants, there's shops, all kinds of stuff. It's definitely worth taking a little bit of time and running through Moab. If you've come all the way to get to Arches, go spend a couple hours over in Moab, get something to eat, and maybe check out one of the outfitters there to go head out on the river, or four-wheeling or mountain biking or something to that effect. Very popular area for those of us here in Utah to go down for the weekend and take part in some of these activities right there out of Moab.
I'm going to go jeeping.
Yeah, this is the place. This is 100% the place.
Sign me up for some jeeping out there at Arches.
Brett, that was awesome. Now, are you guys ready for one of our 50 progressive adventures in Utah?
Yeah, is this one in Utah?
This one happens to be in Utah. Surprise,
all right,
surprise.
All right, let's see if we can teach Brett something now.
Brett, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
And now Progressive Insurance presents 50 Progressive Adventures, unique attractions that need to be seen but are off the beaten path. Next time you visit the Beehive State, be sure to check out Fantasy Canyon, about an hour outside of Vernal, Utah. The unique sandstone structures are the result of ancient rivers and lakes that once covered the area and left sand and mud, which hardened into these breathtaking structures. Adventure awaits with Progressive.
Have you been there, Brett?
I haven't, but it is amazing. Get online, search some pictures. The formations are crazy. They look out of this world. So
lots of online propaganda about this location.
Lots of propaganda,
as well.
Yes.
All right, and thank you also to Jayco for sponsoring Campground of the Week. To see their full line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And thank you to Brett, as always, for giving us another tremendous review. Brett, where can our listeners find you?
So on the web at brettnielsen.com or Instagram at instagrablin.
Brett Nielsen for governor of Utah. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
2017, here we come.
At there least for go. Chief propaganda officer.
All
Thank
right,
you so
Brett.
Much for that great review, Brett. We'll see you at
Thanks,
the campground.
Guys. All right, take care.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.